Here we start here with the Gemara on Chavav and Aleph. The Gemara asked the question based on what the Mishnah had said. The Mishnah had said, "B'shlosha mikomot haKohanim shomrim beBeit Hamikdash." That Kohanim are shomer in three locations within the Mikdash. To that, the Gemara says, "Minahani mile." How do we know that that is true? So Amar Abaye Makra brings the pasuk, "V'achonim lifnei Mishkan Kedma lifnei Ol Moed Mizracha Moshe v'Aaron uBanav shomrim Mishmeret Hamikdash." The Mishmeret Bnei Yisrael, Pasuk from Bamidbar Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Chet, has a layout that we have a Shomrim Mishmeret HaMikdash, and that is Moshe v'Aaron uBanav. Moshe being a Levi, Aaron uBanav being the Kohanim. So from here we see that the Levim and the Kohanim were Shomer the Mikdash. Now, we have in our Mishnah here that the Kohanim were Shomer in three places. We have in the Mishnah Midot that the Levim were Shomer in 21 places. So between them, 24 locations where they were Shomer. And the Gemara is asking, where do we know that from? So Baya brings a puzzle that shows us that both the Kohanim and the Levim are Shomrim, Mishmeret HaMikdash, the Mishmeret Bnei Yisrael. Gemara says, Amrei ein shimur ba'alma. I didn't have a question whether they needed shimur at all. Ashkechan Dabai. He brought a pasuk that they need shimur. That's not what my question was. And now the Hashita Megubetzet takes out Kohanim Levim Shimur, the next three words. Mil, matznitan k'tani b'shlosha mikomot Kohanim Shomrim b'Beit HaMikdash. Ve'alevim b'esrim v'echad makom. And the Levim in 21 locations. So again, here our Mishnah, as well as the Mishnah Midot, says it was in three places of the Kohanim, 21 places of the Levim. Vilukra, Kohanim, Vilevim, Badei Adodiktiv. The pasuk just meshes together all of the Kohanim and Levim. Moshe Levi, Aaron uBanav Kohanim, and it puts them together in one pile and says, Shomrim Mishmeret HaMikdash. So how do I know that there is such a distinction between the Kohanim and the Levim? That the Kohanim are in three places, Levim in 21 places. Where does that come from? So Amrei Hochi Kamar. This is how you have to explain it. Ve'achonim lifnei Mishkan Kedma lifnei Omoed Mizracha Moshe. We're going to reparse the pasuk, even though this isn't the natural way of the pasuk. But nevertheless, we will parse the pasuk in this manner: that those that were on the eastern side, in front of the Mishkan, was Moshe, the Levim, Vadar, and then continuing the pasuk, Aaron uBanav Shomrim Mishmeret HaMikdash, Aaron b'chad makom uBanav b'shnei mikomot. So you have Aaron uBanav, Aaron and his two children, the remaining two children that are going to be the Shomrei Mishmeret HaMikdash. So Aaron is one person, his two children are two, that's three people. So three locations where the Kohanim are going to do Shmirah. And we're reparsing the Pasuk to say that Moshe is referencing the earlier part of the Pasuk of Achonim, about the encampment. And Aaron uBanav are the focus of the latter half of the Pasuk with Shomrei Mishmeret HaMikdash. Mimai, how do you know that's true? How do you know to parse the pasuk in that manner? Midichtiv achonim uchtiv shomrim. Chonim lachud v'shomrim lachud. Since it did not aggregate these two verbs in the pasuk and put them together to say that it applies to everyone in the pasuk, the fact that it put the chonim in the beginning and shomrim at the end means that it's coming to parse the pasuk where the chonim reference Moshe and the shomrim reference Aaron uBanav. So why don't you say, im kul b'chad makom lichudei? How do you know that Aaron uBanav are in three different locations? Maybe they should all be in one location. Three Kohanim all in one location. Lo sakadatcha, ma Moshe b'chad makom lechudei, af Aaron uBanav b'chad makom lechudei. You want to take that because just like Moshe, when it says Moshe means in his own location by himself doing his own thing, so too Aaron uBanav b'chad makom lechudei. They have, each one of them has their own individualized or separate location where they are doing their Shmirah. Ravashi Amar Misefi Dekro, from the latter half of the Pasuk, which is Shomrim Mishmeret LeMishmeret. But the reason that we have three Kohanim is that the word or the terminology of the Shoresh, Shmirah, is used three times in the Pasuk, which is Shomrim Mishmeret HaMikdash LeMishmeret. So three times the Shoresh of the word is used, therefore it references three types of Shmirah, or three locations of Shmirah for the Kohanim in the Pasuk. The other possibility here is the Mefaresh. He must have had a different gear set in the Gemara, but he says Shomrim Mishmeret, which sounds like there's a plurality of Shmirot that is going on here. Shomrim Mishmeret. And so if I put those together, I would get a minimum of three Shmirot. Alright, Beit HaMitinos uBeit HaNitzotz. Two of the locations that are mentioned in our Mishnah where the Kohanim did Shmirah. We discussed this yesterday. Beit HaMitinos is where they did the Ketoret. uBeit HaNitzotz. Beit HaMitinos, we said, was an aliyah, was an upper chamber, that the Bavli was not sure, was uncertain as to whether it was in the north or the south. Gemara and Yoma is uncertain between that and the Lishkat Palhedrin, which one was in which location. Although the Yerushalmi, as we said, thinks certain that it's in the southern side. Then we had the Beit HaNitzot, which was above the Shar HaNitzot, which is mentioned in Midot. So it sits above the Shar HaNitzot. Again, yesterday we discussed the possibility that Nitzot was either because of the sunlight that came in, because it was an Echsadra, or because they kept a small fire there to light the Mizbeach Ram. So these two locations, the Mishnah says that they were upper chambers. They were above. Now the Gemara wants to know, Yibailu Aliyot, Mamashavu, Odim Odahavu, Migba Gvie, Tialiyot. Were they really Aliyot, attics, upper chambers? Meaning that if we talk about in the Gemara everywhere else, the Gemara talks about a Bayit Valiyah. A Bayit being the ground floor location of the residence, and the Aliyah being the second floor. And usually it involved two families. One family lived in the Bayit, one family lived in the Aliyah. So that's what the Gemara is asking here. Is it this structure like a normal Bayit Valiyah? There's a functional room below, and then you have the Aliyah Gaba, or Dilma, Dahabu, Migba, Gvie, Kaliyot. Or maybe they're just elevated like Aliyot. They're up on pillars. They're up on stilts. They were elevated, but not that there was a functional room or location underneath them. So Tashma, Nitznan, and we have the Mishnah in Midot that says, Shibitzafon. On the northern side, we had Shara Nitzot, Kamin Achsadra Haya. It was like an achsadra. Now there's two possibilities of what an achsadra are. We have in the Gemara in Baba Batra that an achsadra de Beirav is a room that has three walls around it, and the fourth wall is left completely open. It has three walls with one side completely open. Or the other possibility of what an achsadra is more like a gazebo. It's a roofed area, but all the sides are open. So you have this sharnitzot, which is like an achsadra, yeah? Ve'aliyah bnuya al gaba. And then you have an upper level built on it. Shakonim shomimi milamalo. Konim are up above. Levi'im milamato. And Levi'im are down below. Upeta chayal olochol. And it had an opening into the chol, meaning to harabayit. So, in terms of the location, this is Sharanitzot. Sharanitzot is one of the entrances to the Azara on the northern side. The Beit HaNitzot sits on top of the Sharanitzot. The description here of what the Shar Nitzot is an achsadra. So depending on how you define achsadra, which actually will be the answer to our question. If you define achsadra as achsadra de Beirav, that means that the Shar Nitzot actually had three walls. And those three walls and a fourth wall that was open create a functional room below. And then above it is the Beit HaNitzot. On the other hand, if you think the achsadra here means an open gazebo, it's possible that the Shar HaNitzot is open on all sides, and you just have the Beit HaNitzot above it, but there is no functional room below. It's up on stilts, it's up on pillars. Or, you could still explain that it was a gazebo of some sort and had function. Now, the being open to the Chol is because this is the gateway or an entrance to the Azara. That means one entrance on one side opens into the Azara, into the Kodesh, and one entrance opens up into the Chol, onto Har HaBayit on the other side, and that impacts in terms of whether the area is Chol or Kodesh. We'll see that in a second. So Gemara says, Mena Animile. How do we know this is true? The Gemara is asking here, Mena Animile, how do you know that the Kohen goes up top and the Levi is down below? Tatan Rabbanan. Vila vu alecha, vishar tucha. So here is a pasuk they found in Korach about the purpose of the Levi'im. Purpose of the Levi'im is that they will accompany the Kohenim and vishar tucha. So they will accompany you and service you. Bavolotcha katufim domer. The pasuk is talking about your avoda. They will accompany you, the Kohenim, in your avoda. Atah mer ba'avodotcha ketuv medaber. You're saying that it's talking about the Kohenim's avoda. Oh, in ola ba'avodotam. Maybe it's the avoda of the Levim. The Levim will accompany you doing their avoda. So, for instance, when it came to the Mishkan, they were the ones who carried the Klei HaKodesh. They're Nosei HaMishkan. So they served the Kohenim by carrying the Mishkan and setting it up. Kohenim will do the Ikar avoda, Avodat HaMizbeach, and the Levim will be in service to Kohanim by providing the moving services and any of the other dealings with the Mishkan and structure of the Mishkan, but not that the Levim will be directly involved in any avodah of the Kohanim. Kishuomer, but we have another pasuk that says, "Venuvu alecha v'shamru l'chol kelav u'l'chol avato." So the separate pasuk says that they will accompany you to take care of the kelim and all the avodat mishkan. So harei b'avodatam amur. So the pasuk already now tells us about their avoda, the Levim's avoda. So then the pasuk of "Venuvu alecha v'shartucha," then that can't be talking about the Levim's avoda because we already have a pasuk that describes it. So ha mani mekayim v'levu alecha v'shartucha. What am I going to do with that? That they're going to accompany you in your avoda. Well, where do we see the Levim accompanying Kohanim in their avoda? Kohanim do avodat mizbeach, something that's only allowed by Kohanim, not allowed by Levim. Haketzad, how does that manifest itself? Kohanim shomrim milamala, v'levim milamato. The Kohanim are up above, and the Levim are down below. As the Mefarish says, that the pasuk is teaching us that Levim are tefillim, are secondary, or subservient to the Kohanim. So if I would think about that in terms of Shemirah, I would have the Mifakeach, I would have the commander or the overseer stand above, and then I would have the worker bees down below. So that's what the Gemara is describing over here, as well as the Mishnah, that the Kohanim in those locations were up top, and the Levim are down below. Because Levim are servicing or serving the Kohanim in their Avoda. So they are secondary to the Kohanim in the Shemirah, so you have the Kohen above overlooking the situation, and you have the Levim below who are doing the Shemirah, and that's how we have the source for the fact that there's a Kohen up top and a Levi down below. Beit HaMoked, when it comes to the Beit HaMoked, which is the third location where the Kohanim were Shomer, Kippah. It was a Kippah. Again, yesterday we described the two possibilities, what a Kippah means. Here you can see in the Mefarash again that he describes a Kippah as some sort of structure that allowed the elevation of the Beit HaMoked so that it was above the ground, and the Kippah was the structure that elevated it. Or Kippah was the roof of the Beit HaMoked, is the equivalent to what we see in the mosques today, that type of Kippah that sits on top of them. Bayit Gadol Haya, it was a large area. V'chad Shimur Hu Da'ava B'Beit HaMoked. Is that really true, that there was only one Kohen, or the necessity for one Kohen that was doing the Shemirah in the Beit HaMoked? Very many. Shnei Shearim Ayu B'Beit HaMoked. Beit HaMoked has two entrances. Echad Batuach L'Chel, Echad Batuach L'Azara. One opening to the Chel. The Chel is the area that surrounds the Azara. It's a small area around the Azara that led out into Har HaBayit. Echad Batuach L'Azara. And then one of them entered the Azara. I mean, this is a wide room, wider than the walls of the Azara. And then on one side, you have an opening that comes from the Chel into the Beit HaMoked. And then the other side, you have an entrance from the Beit HaMoked into the Azara. So this large room has two entrances. The underlying assumption is that if you have two entrances, you need two shomrim. Every entrance requires a shomer. We'll see that when we get to Midot, in the enumeration of the places that Levim stood. At every gate, there was a Levi. They were in other locations as well, but every gate at least had a Levi. So over here, if the Beit HaMoked has two gates to it, then you should require two kohanim there, or two shmirot there. Why do we only have one shmirah in the location of the Beit HaMoked? So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, b'zeh nichnasim le'azara, on the doorway that enters in the Azara, pishpash katan ayalo, had a smaller entrance, shebo nichnasim le'vlosh azara, from which they entered into the Azara to check the kelim. So before Trumat HaDeshen, they used to enter into the Mikdash. They didn't want to open up the doors of the Azara because it wasn't the beginning of the Avoda yet. So if you think about a large palace that has a massive door, and within that door, there's a sub-door that allows people to go in and out. So instead, they don't open up the wide Azara doors, but they just open up that small entranceway that is within the doorway, and that allowed them access to the Azara. They use that access, we'll get this in the Mishnah in Midot, to come Livlosh. They used to go around and do a check in the morning before they started. They used to do a quick check. One group of Kohanim went to the right, one group of Kohanim went to the left. They met in the middle and they made sure to check that all the Klei Sharet were in their proper location and they were ready to start the Avoda for the day. Amar Abayi. So Abayi now comes to respond. We brought this Mishnah that seems to indicate that there should have been two Shomrim and we only have one Shomrim at the Beit HaMoked. Came into Gabe Hadad de Kahavu Kaimo. Since the two doorways are adjacent, they are opposite each other. Sagelu b'chad shomer. Sufficient with one shomer. Dvay l'hacha, dvay l'hacha. You can turn this way and turn that way. I mean, a single shomer would be able to look over both entrance ways because they were in the same line of sight. Or if the kohen was above and looking in both directions, you would be able to see on both sides people entering or exiting from either of the doorways. And therefore, this was sufficient with one shomer. And you don't need multiple shomrim to watch in the Beit HaMoked. Now the Mifarej points out over here that in locations of Beit Avtinos, Beit Anitzotz, which were both above She'arim, gateways, over there there was a Kohen who was above in the Beit Anitzotz, in the Beit Avtinos, and then below was a Levi in the She'ar, in the She'ar Azarah, that was below, meaning that the She'ar Anitzotz were the Beit Anitzotz, and the Beit Avtinos, depending on where it's located. Again, the Bible is uncertain as to which side of the Zarat's located. It was above one of the She'arim on the north or in the south side. So over there, the Mefarash says you had a Kohen up above, and you had a Levi down below. On the other hand, by the Beit HaMoked, the Mefarash says that there was a Kohen above, but there was no Levi below. And here, where the Gemara is talking about a Kohen above and a Levi below, it's not asking about the Beit HaMoked in particular. And that's because when you go to the 21 locations that are enumerated in Midot for the Leviim, the Beit HaMoked is not enumerated there. So if you say that there was a Kohen above and a Levi below here, you'd have 22 locations, not 21 locations. For that reason, he says that the Gemara is asking a much more general question about how do you know Kohanim above and Levi below, not a particular question about the Beit HaMoked itself. Having to be true by the Beit Avtinos and Beit HaNitzotz, but by Beit HaMoked it was not true. There was a Kohen above, there was no Levi below in the Beit HaMoked. Now the Gemara goes back to what the Mishnah said, that the Beit HaMoked's walls were built in a staircase manner, built with recesses that moved up the wall in a staggered manner. So Mary wants to know, how did they do this? Mukaf Rovdim Shel Evan is surrounded by these shelves, levels of stone. Rovdim Mainihu. What are these Rovdim? To Gzerta de Itztbato, to Salke Behul Itztbato. It was a hewn stone area of one upright next to another upright. So again, we described this in the Mishnah, which is you had wider stones, and in the next level you had slightly more narrow stones, and as you went up higher you had another set of more narrow stones, allowing or leaving behind a ledge that created this staircase-like staggering up the wall. The Gemara wants to know how they did this. From the Habamim of the Gemara is that they brought stones, and then they hewed the stones so that there was a gap between them. He brought the same size stones, they stacked them on top of each other, and they cut the stones so they would create this staircase manner. It says, "Aktiv v'abayit v'minato evin shlema." When they built the Mikdash in the time of Shlomo Melech, it was built out of whole stones. They did no cutting of stones in the Mikdash itself. So how can you say over here, they came and cut the stairs out afterwards? Samar abayik d'miktani umayte, d'mitakne umayte. They fixed them up. They did all the cutting before they came there, and then they brought them, meaning that they set up the stones, they're different sized stones. It says, Avnei Eser Amot, Avnei Shmona Amot. They had different sized stones. They had 10 amot stones, 8 amot stones. So if you put a stone that's 10 amot wide, then put an 8 on top of it, then a 6 on top of it, and a 4 on top of it, each time you are recessing into amot, and that's how they created these shelves. So just as a little background, we know we have the pasuk in Parshat Yitro that says about the mizbeach that lo tanif aleh barzel, that you're not allowed to have any metal touch the mizbeach. Over there, the Michilta says that that's only true of the mizbeach. That's not true of the building of the mikdash itself. So no metal can touch any of the stones of the mizbeach, and that we learned already in the Gemara and Zvachim how they built the mizbeach without having any cutting, without cutting any stones. But when it comes to the rest of the Mikdash, that is not true. You can't have cut stones for the rest of the building or structure of the Mikdash. We do a puzzle by the building of the Mikdash of Shlomo HaMelech that says that there was no chiseling or hewing heard in the Mikdash when they built it. So it sounds like from there that they didn't use any barzel, any metal, on even the structure of the Mikdash. The answer to that question is that they did it out by the quarry. They did all the cutting out by the quarry, and that's why there was no chiseling or hewing heard by the Mikdash itself, because it was all done by the quarry. So any stone that they brought it in fully finished, and then they just placed it in its location. But again, it's allowed to be cut. It was allowed to be cut. It was just done outside the area of Yerushalayim, outside the area of the Mikdash. Putting that all together, that's what we have here. They did it beforehand, and they brought them into location. Again, here we're talking about the structure of the Mikdash, where it's allowed to have metal cut the stones, not like the Mizbeach, where you could not have that. So again, that's what we describe here in the pasuk, that there were different sized stones, and by stacking up smaller and smaller stones on top of each other, you create these shelves. Ziknei Beit Av Yishenim Sham. The elders of the Beit Av slept there. We said in the Mishnah, the elders of the Beit Av would sleep there. The Beit Avot were the heads of the subdivisions of the Mishmarot. There were 24 Mishmarot of Kohanim in the Mikdash. In each Mishmar, there were 6 or 7 Batei Avot, as Machloket. Either there were 6 Batei Avot, each Batei Av worked one day of the week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, each one had Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, each one had their day. And then on Shabbat, they all served together. Or there were 7 Batei Avot, which was that there was every day had a Beit Av, including Shabbat, and not that they all serviced together on Shabbat. So the Ziknei Beit Av are the elders, the ones, the Gabaim, who ran that Beit Av. They used to sleep on these shelves, and they had the keys of the Azarah in their hand. Tzvamai, why are they sleeping on these shelves, on these recesses in the wall? Lailei mitot, spring in some beds. Amrabai, lavorach ara, liyulei mitot, the Beit HaMikdash. It's not appropriate to bring in camping equipment and beds into the Mikdash. Mikdash is not a place of residence in the sense of sleeping there and living there. It's the residence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Kohanim are there to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as Mishortim, or servicers of Hashem, you sleep in an Arai manner, in a non-permanent manner, not on beds, not in comfort, but in a ready state. And that ready state meant they slept on the shelves there, ready to do the Avodah, to awaken for the Avodah the next morning. Okay, we'll stop over here.